that's a good way to start, wasn't it? Next time you get fed up, go to the rock. Next time you're in trouble, go to the rock. We're going to start with a hymn, because I like hymns. I grieve sometimes the number of hymns we've lost, because we think, oh, we've got to have the modern stuff. And yet the teaching and the expressions in hymns are amazing. And this is an important... The first line of this hymn is our title for this morning, almost. So, let's stand.
Thank you.
as we come into your presence this morning, meet with us, we pray. We come with various concerns and baggage and problems. Help us, Father, to put them down at your feet right now and enter into your presence and just know your loving arms around us. Father, meet with us, we pray. Let this be a great day for your glory. Amen. 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 Please be seated. I was driving the other day and somebody complimented me on my driving. Because when I got back to the car, it said, parking fine. I was so pleased, I thought I'd go and get an ice cream. So I went to the shop and I said, can I have an ice cream? And he said, hundreds of thousands? I said, no, just one to start off with. So I gave up and went to the supermarket and there was a boy there and he said, one day, I'm going to work here, unloading those boxes. It was a shelf-fulfilling prophecy. I give up. Harsh. Gets here late and that's what she gives us. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Those watching at home, welcome. Just to say we are sharing communion a little bit later. So if you are at home and you want to get some bread and a drink for later on so you can join us, that's fine. Welcome. This is an exciting day. Because you're here, I'm here, and God's here.
Amen.
Amen. We have apologies from Rosie, whose granddaughter has COVID, so Rosie's got to isolate for 10 days. And apologies from Jenny, who was due to come this morning, but has been unwell in the night, so is unable to. And obviously Daphne is still unwell, so we'll pray for those in a moment. And also Andy and Sue, I think, are still away. Yes, so do pray for them. Let's pray right now. Father, we pray for those who are sick. We pray for Daphne and for Jenny, that you will just put your healing touch upon them. Help them to know that, although they may not be able to be here this morning, that they are part of this family and we love them. Pray for Rosie, getting frustrated, sitting in that room, isolating. Father, just let your presence rain on her this morning. And let all three of those ladies know your presence this morning and know that you're with them right now. We pray for Rosie's granddaughter, that, Lord, you just heal that COVID. And let even this be a moment where she can see the glory of God.
Amen.
And Father, pray for Andy and Sue. They do so much for us. They bless us so often. Father, even as they're away, just bless their socks off. Even right now, don't just be aware suddenly that God's doing something. And Father, just bless them all. And others we may not have thought about. Father, bless our family. And those who maybe are not here. For your glory. Amen. Amen. A couple of notices. Number one, the new Heart magazine newspaper is here. Do take it and use it. There's no point being here if you don't use it. Read it, give it away. If nothing else, I can use it to wrap your chips up. You know the story about that, don't you? About the little boy who got his fish and chips and he unwrapped it. And it was a newspaper story about how in the Gospels, they found a coin in the mouth of the fish. And so the little boy got very excited and he sort of got the fish and he opened it up and there was no coin. And he was desperately disappointed because they were in poverty and he didn't have any money and that was a problem. And he went to bed a bit upset and his mum was reading the paper and a bit further down, there was an advert saying they were looking for someone. And it was her. And she went to the solicitor and she'd been left a sum of money which enabled them to come out of poverty. Nice, isn't it? Who knows what God's going to do? A change to your diaries. I do need just to tell you, Steve Murray, for various reasons, has had to put back a couple of weeks when he's coming. So he's now definitely booked coming on the 12th of September. Alright, I'm really sorry about that, but I think COVID's hit him a bit harder than he expected and it's taking a bit longer to recover and he wanted to make sure that he's on form when he gets here. So the 12th of September, mark it in your diaries. Start inviting your friends. In the morning, Steve will be participating in our service. He'll be taking most of the service, I suspect. And then in the evening, 6 o'clock, we are doing a concert. He'll be doing the whole thing. We know already that there are about 7 or 8 people from my former church want to come because they love seeing Steve so much. People are coming from Bolney Chapel. If you've got people who have maybe don't come to church too often and are on the edge, a great evening to invite them to. You will in a moment because I'm going to show you a video. Steve Murray is an international known mime artist. He has performed at all the major conferences of all the major denominations in this country. So he's very well known. He's a superb performer. And I guarantee you will spend the evening laughing and crying. All right? So that is the 12th of September. Bring friends, bring family, husbands, wives. It's a great place to bring people who don't normally come to church. All right? Even if just for the performance, the quality is such they will really enjoy it. All right? So that's that. There was something else. Something else, Peter. Come on, what was it? Don't just sit there. You're meant to know these things. I'm messing. All right. So what we want to do is I'm going to show you the video of Steve Murray that we used at Easter. Bear in mind, the video does no justice to his performance. He is brilliant live. You can't get the image when you watch it on the telly, but it'll give you an idea. All right? So, 12th of September, but this is Steve Murray. Thank you, Graham.
Time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. Reason that they came was to watch the lambs. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? So much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. Must be sure the lamb doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out. Oh, his angry voice, screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the forms upon his brow, running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "Carry his cross!" They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. Yet upon the cross I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Oh, never have I seen such love with any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. All sense of time, until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us. Then ran away." Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand. So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. Then I said, "Dear children, watch the land."
That's a particularly powerful song, but Steve Murray, that guy, is going to be here the 12th of September in our little church. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Wow. And you're gonna have a blast. You're going to laugh a lot. He's going to give some of his testimony. It's going to be a brilliant day. But I thought as we were taking communion this morning, that was a good song just to bring us into worship. And I love the symbolism. I don't know if you saw it, because unfortunately this screen, you don't see it as clearly as you would have been on the telly. But I love that on that screen, he pointed up at the cross. Did you notice that? I thought, that's a nice symbol. He's pointing at our cross. Watch the Lamb. So we're going to come into a time of worship. We're going to come and spend time loving God. Not praying, worshipping. And then a little bit later, we will take communion together. But right now, this is about Father. It's about taking that time and just loving Him. So we will sing a hymn to start off with, which says, "How great thou art." I suggest you might want to stand for that. And then after that, be comfortable. If you want to sit, kneel, lay on the floor, you may not have any choice in that one. But be comfortable in His presence, just to love Him, to give Him our praise, our worship, our adoration. We'll play a couple more songs after that, and then we will come and share communion together. All right? But let's stand together. This song, "How Great Thou Art."
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works Thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, we
Just to be in your presence, Father. Father, we can stand before you and just say how great you are. Father, week by week, month by month, you do so much more for us. And we can say nothing but how great you are. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just to be in your presence, Lord. Just to be in your presence. Overwhelmed by so many people struggling, and the picture was of a single cocoon in a bush, and sense that God is saying that he will deal with us one at a time, and each butterfly which emerges will be different from all the others, but each one will be beautiful. And when we're in the cocoon, we are wrapped in his love, held tightly until the time comes for us to let us fly like a butterfly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
so we come to the table to break bread or take communion together. At the start of the meal, Jesus took bread. And after he'd given thanks, he broke it. Father, thank you for this bread and what it means, what it symbolizes. Thank you, Father God, that as we break and as we eat together, it's a reminder that you gave everything, that Jesus gave his body to pay our price for the things we've done wrong. Father, as we take and as we eat this bread, help us to remember that you have paid the full price for everything we did wrong, because you loved us so much. Thank you, Father. Amen. And so he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. Just as they would have done in every other meal. And then he would pass it round, so they could all have some, because they would use it to mop up the gravy. And as Jesus was breaking the bread, the disciples watched him, because it was quite a normal thing. And suddenly he said, I just want to let you know, this is my body, which is given for you. And as they watched, they saw him breaking his body. Peter, would you be willing just to take that round? If for some reason you feel you don't want to take communion, just let the plate pass around, pass you. That's absolutely fine. This is a time to remember Jesus gave his body for you. Eat it to remind yourself. Jesus said, eat it in remembrance of me. Remind yourself, this is his body given for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your body paying our price that we could be free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shalima kada kana shakiliya kada kriya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Eat it in remembrance of him. A bit later, in the evening, at the end of the meal, Scripture says he took the cup after supper. So they'd finished eating. He took the cup, just as they'd have seen people do many times. And he began to pour them a drink. As you would do if you had people come to you, say, do you want some more drink? And he would pour the cup after supper. And as he poured out the drink, he said to them, this is my blood poured out for you. And as they watched it being poured out, they would have thought of the sacrifice. They'd have thought of the Passover. And suddenly Jesus is saying, I will pour out my blood for you. Why? To wash away even the stain of sin. Many Christians come to the bread and remember the death of God, or the death of Jesus. They forget the blood washes away even the stain of sin. Now I'm going to confess, we don't have enough big glasses. I wanted to give everyone a big glass, but we don't have enough, so we've got to use the small glasses. Sandy, would you come and just take these around, but maybe just hold the cup in your hand and we'll drink together. So we can share in drinking. Is that alright? Thank you. So take a cup and just hold it in your hand and we'll drink together. The symbol of the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine what they thought about as they sat there? They just had this lovely dinner and suddenly Jesus has said, this is my blood poured out for you. And they would have seen that image. And a few days later, when Jesus died and then rose again, they will have understood what that meant. This is my blood poured out for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, John. So he took the cup after supper. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new agreement. Drink it to remind yourself in remembrance of him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may wonder why I asked Peter and Sandy to help me. Because although we are, in a sense, leaders, our pleasure is to serve you. And as leaders, we want to always be serving. The day that a leader forgets to serve, he stepped outside of what Jesus taught. Because before the meal, Jesus washed feet. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. My first communion at this church. How about that? Yeah, because all the other times you've all had your own bread and your own cup. That's the first time I've done communion. The first time my father ever did communion in his church, he was so nervous that he took the cloth that covered it and he screwed up and threw it in a ball. And the poor lady that had to wash and clean it was absolutely furious. But listen, these are not important. The cup and the plate isn't important. That's right. And we must never lose that. I've told you before, we had a communion table at church, and it was beautiful. It was oak, light oak, and it was lovely, really solid. And when I used to get to our third service of the day, I used to sit on it to preach because I was too tired to stand up. And this lady came and said, I'm very upset that you sit on that table. That special table for communion, it's very sacred. And I'm afraid I was a bit naughty. I said, well, if it's sacred, the best thing we do is we chop it up and we give it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And she says, it's okay for you to sit on it. That was a bit naughty, wasn't it? There's nothing special. You know, you see films about hunting the Holy Grail and so on. Absolute tripe. The special is the bread and the wine. Amen? Just don't move out your seat. Just turn around to somebody and say, God bless you. Go on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you. Alright. Turn to the scriptures. You know what passage it is, don't you? I told you last week we were going to be in it for a few weeks, and you've all studied it this week, and you've dwelt on it, and you've meditated on it. Haven't you? I'm not seeing any yeses at the moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you remember last week we looked at the first little part of the first verse, which says, follow the ways of love and earnestly desire the better gifts. Remember that? Oh, that's all right, I can preach the same sermon again, you wouldn't notice. Verse 1, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to God, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. That's exciting, isn't it? This week I brought two pieces of galvanized angle iron. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5. I brought some galvanized angle iron for our notice board. For those who don't know, the smaller of the two notice boards, one of the posts has rusted away. And if you push it too hard with the lawnmower, you're likely to knock the whole thing over. So I bought two pieces of galvanized angle from work, because it cost me a lot of money. And what you have to do is you have to take a sheet of galvanized steel iron and you've got to cut it to get a flat piece. And then you've got to fold it. Now cutting it takes a long time. With a grinder, a cutter or a hacksaw, it takes you a long time to cut a 2.5 meter length of steel. To fold it takes even longer with a hammer. It takes ages. It can be done. It just takes a long time. However, at work, we've got a machine. And you slide the flat piece of metal in and it goes, dunk, and it's cut. Time taken, about half a second. And I've got my nice flat bit of galvanized steel. I then go to the other machine and I push it in and it goes, meep, and it bends it perfectly. About half a second. The total amount of effort required to do those two tasks either is enormous or is nothing. In fact, it's more than nothing because I've got someone else to do it. But ignore that bit. That is an image of the Holy Spirit and the church. So often, we can do what God is laying on our hearts to do. We're capable, we're able, it's not a problem. But it's hard work. And God says, I'm going to give you a gift to make it easy. And so often in church, we'd rather stick with doing it our way. If you look back in the Old Testament, Abraham twice was worried that he was in a place where people would find his wife attractive. And he said, oh gosh, they're going to find her attractive. They might kill me so they can run off with her. So he says to his wife, pretend you're my sister. Man's answer. And he got into problems. One of the guys came to him and said, you've put a curse on me. Because I didn't know it was your wife. Sorry, I'm putting this in modern language. I could have done something wrong. And you can imagine God said, Abraham, why didn't you trust me? A little bit later, God says to Abraham, you're going to have a child. And Abraham says, great, but nothing happened. I love the image, by the way. I've got to get this image out. And, you know, you imagine Abraham's been in the presence of God. And he comes home and there's Sarah, nearly 100. She's had her hot chocolate and she's ready for bed. She took her teeth out. Hello, darling. How was your prayer time? I've got some exciting news. Put your teeth back in. Why is that? you're going to have a baby. Very funny, let's go to bed. You know, that's what Scripture says. Scripture says she laughed. But what we forget is when God says to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a baby, excuse me being blunt, they got to participate. It wasn't an immaculate conception. And I've just got this image of this 100-year-old woman saying, if you think we're starting that malarkey, you've got another thing coming, my lad. It's in Scripture. Anyway, but because the baby isn't coming, what happens? They follow the culture of the day, and if you didn't have a child, the culture of the day says you could have sex with your servant girl, and that child would become your inheritor. So instead of waiting for God to do it God's way, Abraham tries to do it himself. Hagar produces Ishmael, that is the forefather of the Arab nations that right now cause so much problems, and the foundation of Islam and so on, all happened because Abraham tried to do it his way instead of waiting for the Spirit. You seeing it? Saul was told, do not sacrifice. And he thinks, oh gosh, the prophet isn't here. I will have to do something. And the prophet comes and tells him off and says, why did you do what you were told not to do? And he says, but it was the best of intentions. I had to do something because... And God says, you didn't need to do something. I was sending my power. And so often through Scripture, people mess up because they do in their own strength what God would have made easy. Do you want another example? Joshua and the bottle of Jared. But I'll start that sentence again because I'm sure it wasn't a bottle of anything. I've got the wrong teeth back in after that last one. Get the teeth in, right. Here we go. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. Behave. Bottle of Jericho, yeah. I'll have two, please. God told him what to do. All they did was march around the city. On the seventh day, they marched around seven times. They gave a shout. The walls fell down. They won. Read Scripture. What happened next? They went to the town of Ai. Jericho says, don't bother God. We've got this. 36 men died. Because they did it in their own strength and not allowing the Holy Spirit to move. It became a problem. It became a big problem. Why? Because they were doing it in their own strength. And for so many churches, for so long, they have lived trying to do it in their own strength. How many of you have had to go out witnessing and you didn't want to and you didn't feel like it, but the church had decided you were going to do it, and you got there and it was hard work for you and it was hard work for everybody, and you came home thoroughly disappointed? Anybody had that experience? Okay, the rest of you, will get you out next week. But what about when you're out and the Holy Spirit comes on you, and without thinking you're speaking to somebody, you're witnessing, and you say, well, that's easy. And you come home excited. Have you had that experience? What's the difference? Holy Spirit. And we've got churches and churches and churches of people who are saying, we don't need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it becomes hard work. And we're doing this and we're doing that. And you end up with programs. There's programs on how to evangelize. There's programs on how to disciple. There's programs about how to reach your community. Wouldn't it be greater if we just had a program how to hear and respond to the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't that make it easier for us? Because we are so busy trying to work in our strength and not in the strength of the Holy Spirit. All right? Excuse me, I've got to do this because in a minute I am going to fall over this. And whilst in itself it's not sacred, it will make a mess on the carpet. Thank you. So what we get is churches who work hard. And I'm reminded back to that scripture where Jesus said, in the last days, people will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we even cast out demons in your name. In other words, we healed the sick, we raised the dead, we cast out demons in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. And if we're working hard at doing what we should be doing, we're doing it in our strength, and we need to stop and let the Holy Spirit come. But I want to take it a step further. I told you last week about my dad and Christmas presents. Do you remember how he was up all of Christmas Eve night making us all bites and sprayed them and polished them 3 o'clock in the morning, the paint was still wet and he put stickers on them and so on. Now, by the way, have you ever wondered how your parents managed to persuade you that the thing they bought a month ago, you still want when it gets to Christmas? Yeah? We used to do it to Mum. You know, we'd say we want something, and we'd keep saying, this is what we want for Christmas, this is what we want for Christmas. And about the day before, we'd say we changed our mind. And Mum would work very hard to make us agree that what we wanted was actually what we wanted a month ago, because that's what she bought us, yeah? Now, none of you were mischievous like that, of course you weren't. You're all angels. Right. So my dad spent all his time building this bike, making this bike. This bike is great. And Christmas morning, the pleasure of my dad's face as we've come through to the lounge and there's our bikes and they look brilliant and we're excited. And so I hug my dad and I say, Dad, thank you so much for that gift. And then I put it away and I walk to school or I walk to church or I walk to youth club. And the next day my mother says, do you want to go down the shops? I say, yeah. And I walk to the shops. And I walk home. How is my dad going to feel? Because his joy is in seeing him give me something that I want, that I need, that I'm going to enjoy and I'm going to use. But if I put it away and I never use it, my dad will be devastated. We had it when we used to take aid out to Romania. We went to an orphanage once, and we gave every child in the orphanage a little dinky car or a little doll. And we went back a year later, and we were devastated, because they were all on the shelves, still in their boxes. And there was a moment when I was angry, and I said to the staff, what's going on? And they very quickly said, you're wrong. They said they've not got anything of their own. So what they do is every Sunday and on their birthday, they'll take the toy out of its box and they'll play with it and they'll carefully put it back in the box and they put it up on the shelf because that's the only thing they own. And then my anger turned to, yeah, tears, yeah. But my dad wanted me to enjoy my bike. God came to you and he said, life's going to be tough. I've got a present for you. This present will be everything you need, everything you want, and it'll always be with you. And the vast majority of Christians said, thank you very much, put it back in the box, and never learn to use that gift. How do you think that makes God feel? As he watches you struggle. And he says, but you have the gifts to do it. What you've got to do is learn to use them. So having had that as our introduction, we then come to our topic this week. How on earth are we going to get through this? No idea. About speaking in tongues. Probably the most divisive, controversial thing in church. Which I love. Why is it an issue? No idea. You see, I've learnt, when I was at school, by the way, my French teacher told me that as long as I was on this earth, he used other words, I'm not going to use those, but he said, as long as you are, you will never speak French. But I am now fluent French. But what I've learnt is sometimes, when I'm really frustrated, I can say something better in French than I can in English. And sometimes when you're speaking to somebody even from France, they'll sometimes say something in English because it expresses more powerfully what they're trying to say. Does that make sense? So here's you and me. And we come into the presence of God. And we start to tell God we love him. And often what then happens is we run out of words. And our brain starts to wander. Anyone ever had that? None of you. You're too spiritual, I know. Jeff Lucas, who was on the organising committee at Spring Harvest and so on, tells a story about one morning he got up early morning to pray. And he was praying by the side of his bed and he thought, well, I could be more comfortable in bed. So he fell asleep praying in bed. And while asleep, he started having a dream about Donald Duck. And he woke up finding himself saying, Lord, save that duck! Which I think is brilliant. Anyway. When our language fails, that's when God gives us another one. But we have to understand where we're going. There are 9 spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Is that right? Anybody want to have a go at naming them all in one go? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, spirit type revealing, speaking tongues of other nations and interpretation. 9. There you go. Right, so 8 of those are for other people. You don't need faith for yourself, you need it for someone else. If I come to Chris and I say, Chris, I'm about to die, pray for me to be healed, her faith is for me. If she ain't got enough faith, I die. The gift of healing isn't for Chris, it's for me. If I come to you and say, I want a word from God, the word isn't for her, the word's for me. If I have someone speak in tongues and Chris interprets, it's not for her, it's for me. There's only one gift, half of a gift, that's for you. And that's speaking in tongues, and only half. Alright? That's when you communicate with God. And there's a necessity and a crucialness about it. You read that passage, and you read on a few verses, and it seems like Paul is sort of saying, I don't really want you to speak in tongues. He says, I'd rather you were all prophesying. But then a bit later in the passage, he says, I speak in tongues more than any of you. And he said, well, hang on, Paul. A minute ago, you were saying you'd rather I was prophesying, and now you're telling me you speak in tongues more than anybody. What's going on here? What's going on is you've got the two sides of speaking in tongues in one conversation. I know when I worship God, very quickly, I get to a place where I can't worship anymore. And I can't get my heart to give me the words to say what I'm feeling inside. And often that is when in worship, I begin to speak, to pray, to worship in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit takes my heart, not literally, and he uses my heart to give vent to worship God. And he's using the words that are blessing God. So my worship goes up a level because I'm now saying what I really want to say, but I'm saying what God wants to hear. So there's now a power link that's been made up. You see that? And what happened, I mean, have you ever been in a church where everybody starts singing in tongues? You don't want it to stop, do you? It's amazing. And you don't want to open your eyes. You don't want to do anything that might stop it. And you're sort of sitting there thinking, I'm not moving, just don't stop. It's an amazing experience. Why? Because you've got your heart speaking to God. Now, if you come back to the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved, right, isn't it? So imagine you're the disciples in the upper room and the Holy Spirit's coming upon you and you're all speaking in tongues. Do you know why they rushed out into the street? Because if they'd stayed where they were, they'd have blown up. Because there was so much, I've got to get this out, and they rushed out into the street. But what does Scripture say was next? It says that the people came together, said, we heard them worshipping, praising God in our language. And these are just common men. These are thickheads. These are the rejects. They're the fishermen. They're nobodies. But they are worshipping God, and they can't stay in the building because their heart's going to burst if they do. They've rushed out into the street, and they're shouting and screaming their worship, and everyone's coming together. 3,000 people get saved, not because of a witnessing program, but because they hear heart worship to God. Does that excite you a little bit? Because if it doesn't, I think I'm going to go get some of those paddles and give you a little shot. See, what's happening is God knows I can't say what I feel. And so he sends the power on me through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads me to a worship place where I can actually give God the glory he deserves. Now, why is that important? Bible says he inhabits or comes alive in the praise and worship of his people. Is that right? Any of you read that verse? Some of you do read your Bibles, yes? Naughty. What is that about? The more we get into the place of worship, the more God comes to meet with us. The more God comes to meet with us, the more we will have to give away to other people. The more of God we will have to share. You see, if my worship gets me closer to God, I can hear the conversations. See, if Sanjay and Roxanne whisper something right now, watch out if I'm watching you because I can lip read, but if I'm not looking at them, I don't know what they're saying. But if I get closer and I start to get my ear like this, I'll hear what they're saying. If I get into the true place of worship, the more I worship God, the closer I get to God. The closer I get to God, the more I hear what God is saying. The more I have a word to give to someone else. Let's again take a hypothetical. I'm worshipping God. I'm getting closer to the presence of God. I'm just worshipping him in tongues, and the Holy Spirit has taken me to that innermost place. And while I'm there, God gives me a dream, a vision, that next Sunday Eric's going to come through the door. Now from worship, I've now moved to another gift. I've got a word of knowledge. And when Eric comes through the door, I can say to him, I've got a word from God, because my faith has now gone up. Because God showed me, and now it's happened. So Eric's coming in, and I'm going, Eric, I've got a word from God for you. And he's going, what? And I tell him exactly what God said, and he starts crying, and he says, there's no way you could know that unless it was God. So now my faith has gone to a higher level. And he said, I need prayer about this. And my faith says, let me pray for you. Let me pray for that healing. Why? Because I sung in tongues, because I worshipped in tongues, because I was close to God. I heard what God said. Because I've heard what God said, I know what God is going to do for Eric. So when I come to meet Eric and he says, I need this, I go, I know. Bang. Peter and John go to the temple. Have you got any money? No. What I have got, I give to you. What do you mean you have got it? Well, we were with God earlier, and God gave it to us for you. Well, what were you doing? Worshipping. But Lord, we've got all these prayer requests. Come and worship. Come and worship. And let me speak to you about your prayer requests. But Lord, this is so important to me. Yes, it is. But it's more important to him. And you see, we spend so much time praying, telling God what he should do. And we spend very little time listening in his presence. And so the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to give you a language that comes from me that allows you to worship God and be in his presence. Let me tell you what else happens when you speak in tongues. You may notice that sometimes when you pray, Have you ever noticed how it feels like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back? And you prayed for an hour and it feels like nothing's got through. Anyone had that experience? Yeah? Try praying in tongues. The devil can't block the Holy Spirit. He can block angels, he can block you and me, he cannot block the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit starts to speak in tongues, you go straight to the throne room of God. And I'll tell you this, sometimes when you're praying for people, when they've come out for prayer for ministry, and you look at them and you think, I don't know how to pray, do you know what I'll do? I'll pray in tongues. I'll say, Holy Spirit, you give me the right words so that I am praying to God the right words for this person to receive from you. And now we're halfway through understanding speaking in tongues. Are you excited yet? Oh, dear, dear. You see, God doesn't want our prayer life to be difficult. Has anyone here ever found praying hard work? Yeah? Have you ever found sometimes it's like walking through treacle? Or pushing a snowball uphill on a sunny day? It's just hard work, isn't it? I had a lady I used to know, an elderly lady, and she would get up in the morning and she would pray for an hour and a half. And I'd say, that's great. What do you pray about? And she said, I've got this list. And I pray for so and so, and I pray for so and so, and I pray for so. And she'd go through her list. And I said, do you ever hear from God? No, I'm just praying. Well, why don't you throw the list away? Start with God, and if God puts something in your heart, pray for that. See, we're very good at formalizing God. But I know most of you will have been in a relationship at some point or other. Can you imagine if every time you saw your loved person, you'd say, hi, love you, right, can you do this, and can you do this, and can you do this, and can you do this, can you do this, I'll see you tomorrow, bye. And then the next day, hi, love you, can you do this, 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 can you help so-and-so, can you help so-and-so, can you help so-and-so, think about the situation there, think about the situation, bye, see you tomorrow. How long would your relationship last? Anybody? You wouldn't have a relationship. And so God says, the first gift I'm going to give you is so you can learn to walk in love. That's why speaking in tongues is so important. Yes, there is another aspect. Sometimes God gives you a word to bring to the church. And sometimes you're not confident enough and you speak out loud in tongues. And somebody else needs to interpret. That's okay. That's why I said the gift is a half gift. It's half for you and half for other people. First church where I was in charge on my own, down in Birkenhead, down in the docks at Milner. First Sunday, first church in charge, just out of Bible college. And didn't have a clue what I was doing. And this lady stood up and gave a message in tongues. There's about half a dozen people in the church. And I thought, well, that was nice. And someone whispered, the pastor interprets. And I sort of went, where is he then? What? And that's why Paul says, if you give a message in tongues, you pray for the interpretation. Don't offload it onto someone else. It's like when we need, someone needs to be healed. Sometimes people come to me and said, so-and-so needs healing, so I brought them to you. Well, good. I'm very happy for you. You can take them back again. Or when people have a word from the Lord. You ever have those people give you a word from the Lord? Oh, sometimes they talk absolute tripe. Someone says, can I give you a word from the Lord? I think the Lord is telling you to do this. And I want to say, I think the Lord's telling you to go jump off a cliff. But you're not allowed to say that, are you? So you have to, thank you. Thank you. So when people say, can I say something to you in love? No, you can't. Because it's going to be nasty. I've never had anyone tell me something in love that's nice. Can I just share something with you in love? It means I'm going to punch your kidneys out and hide behind a pseudo-spiritualism that says you're not allowed to moan back at me. But I'll tell you this. If my daughter wants to tell me something, even if it's negative, she doesn't have to say, can I tell you this in love? Because she knows I love her and she loves me. So she'll say it. And even if I don't like what I'm hearing, I know her heart is love. And if someone has to tell me they're doing it in love, it's probably not, and I'm going to get a punch. So normally when people say that, I say, just don't. So, come back. We have to unlearn so much of what we learned in church. We are very good at teaching people to pray. We're very poor at teaching people to worship. And yet what Jesus longs for most is for our church that worships. Because in the worship, he comes alive and things happen. If you want to receive gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive ministry from the Holy Spirit, the gateway, the doorway through which it will happen, will be through speaking in tongues. It's that important. That's why Paul says, I speak in tongues more than any of you. It's that important. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you are clothed, covered, filled with power. Now, here's where the problem starts. For many Christians, they have been taught other stuff for 40, 50, 60 years, or however much. And they've got so much history, and so much tradition, and so much, this is the way we do it, they find it incredibly difficult to break all of that off and say, I receive the Holy Spirit. Because that's not the way church does it. And if you look at something like David Pawson's normal Christian birth, he always says you're not born again properly until you're filled with the Spirit. Yes, are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Yeah, absolutely. But you're not fully born until you're filled with the Spirit. That's why he says believe, repent, believe, be baptized, and filled with the Spirit. And that's when you are complete, your birth is complete. When you have a baby, the baby comes out. You may have a physical birth, but the baby's not fully born. You've got to cut the cord. I'm told if you don't cut the cord, the baby will die. So you cut the cord. But that's okay, because here's a baby, and you've cut the cord, and there it is. But I tell you what, if it doesn't start breathing, it's still not fully born. And you can say, but I have birthed a baby. There it is. Yeah, but if it doesn't breathe, it's not much of a baby. So you might smack it, or in modern days, I suppose you put a sucker in and suck mucus out, and the baby starts breathing, and everyone says, hey, the baby's born, that's it, great. Well, actually it isn't. Because if the baby doesn't pass the meconium, the baby can't come home, because if it doesn't do that, he will die. So there's all these different steps. Now you might say, the birth happens when the mother births the baby. No, there's other steps as well. So for the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Was he saved? Absolutely. But in the ideal world, we take time to believe, repent, be baptized, and filled with the Spirit. And so often churches teach the first three, and they run away from the fourth. And it's something that we almost fall into by accident. And we've got to become a church where we walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit means, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And I know times of crisis when I don't even know how to pray, I pray in tongues. I remember I told you a few years ago we got held up at gunpoint 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyone here good at two? We got stopped by the police in Romania who wanted a bribe, and we didn't have enough money. And they stopped and they came out with their guns and they pointed their guns at us and they took our passport and they said, we want $100. And I don't know, maybe something in me just said, I'm not going to pay it. And he said, I want $100 because you had your lights on in a village. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. What did you want me to do? So we had a bit of a standoff. And he went and sat in his car, and I thought, well, I'm not standing in the cold, so I went and sat in my car, face to face. And I sat in my car, and I'm sitting there under my breath, I am praying in tongues. I ain't got a clue what to pray. So I'm just praying in tongues. Holy Spirit, you've got to do something here. And they came out again, and they sort of said, $100. And I said, show me the law written down, and I'll pay it. I'll follow you to the police station, you can show me the law. They spat at me, threw my passport in the road, and drove off. And I thought, oh, great. And I got in the car, my legs started shaking, and I couldn't put my clutch down or anything. Holy Spirit. That's when you cry out in your language that God is giving you. at work sometimes, I just get so angry at things. I say, Holy Spirit, and I speak under my breath in tongues. Just let the Holy Spirit begin. Are you getting the message here? Paul didn't say, I don't want you to speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. He said, use it in the right way. To open the door to heaven and all that heaven has for you. We need one another. We need one another so much. Where we're going, where God is taking us as a church, I'll share some more of that another day, but where we're going, God is showing us we need one another. But what I need from you and what you need from me is I need to know that as a family, we're used to being in the presence of God and we bring words from God. I don't want your advice. I want God speaking through you. Because that's going to be exciting. And some of you are sitting here now this morning. Time has gone. I'm really trying to rush through this. Some of you are beating yourself up and say, well, I haven't quite had that before and I don't know. And maybe I'm not such a good Christian. So can we just practice a little thing here? If you're having those thoughts right now, put your hand like this on the side of your head. Take hold of all that rubbish and just put it in the bin. Okay? And anyone who's having thoughts like that, this is what you do. Same as, by the way, if someone gives you a phone call you don't want, and they start moaning and groaning at you, what I do, they go, dab, 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 in this, and I'm going like this. And I put the phone down and someone says, what was that about? So I have no idea. I'm not going to let somebody have a go at me and carry that in my spirit, because that's not good for me. So I've learnt. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. But what I'll do then is I'll phone somebody in the church. I'll say, just talk to me. Why? Because our spirits refresh one another. I don't want that rubbish. Replace it with something good. And sometimes people say, you didn't say anything. You didn't need to say anything. Just having two people agreeing was enough. Do you see how we're working now? And the Spirit's taking us to a different level. This is church, isn't it? This is what the New Testament's full of. This is what Acts is all about. When this happened, they got together. They prayed. When Peter was in prison, what happened? They spent all night together in the presence of God, worshipping. God was moving. And the prayers of the people together unlocked the doors of the prison. Is that right? When we start Holy Spirit praying, we break prisons. We heal the sick. We raise the dead. When we break into Holy Spirit praying. Are you getting a grasp of this yet? I'd love to mean, by the way, what that servant girl was thinking. They've prayed all night for Peter to be released, right? And there's a knock at the door. And she has a look and she says, oh. And she shuts the door. And she goes back in. They said, who was it? It was Peter. Well, what have you left him outside for? Well, didn't know, really. Didn't think. You know, we prayed about that all night. We wanted that. What are you doing? Well, I'm sorry. Didn't know. It's in the Bible, isn't it? I'm trying to get you just to grasp this really crucial point. We need to be a people of the Holy Spirit. We need to believe for one another to receive greater and greater gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have had a real problem about speaking and worshipping in tongues. Can I give you permission to stop worrying about it? Right? Because if God wants it to happen, He'll make it happen. I can force and I can try and manufacture. I've seen all sorts of rubbish go on. But what I find is when people say, do you know what, Lord? If you want me to have that, here I am. I'm just going to love you. And then one day, without realising, suddenly they think, well, hang on, what's this? And they're speaking in tongues. Because they've allowed the Holy Spirit to come without the pressure. And I've seen people at church where they say things like, I'll say some words and you repeat them after me. A tripe. Absolute twaddle poppycock. I'm not the Holy Spirit. My words aren't your words. You say what's in your heart and let God come. And when He's ready, you'll start speaking in tongues. And the more you start speaking in tongues, the more you'll speak in tongues. And I know one man in America, and he only had one word. And there was a big conference going on, and there was a lecturer teaching about the Holy Spirit. And in the end, this guy stood up and he said, I speak in tongues. And he said this one word over and over again. That's all he had. One word. And the guy leading the conference, oh no. Next day, three men came to him from the conference, said, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, after what that guy did, they said, no. Because of what that guy did. He's a university professor. He's got many languages. And if he's going to stand up and shout out one word for the glory of God, we want to know that God. Amen. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But he only had one word. Do you know what? Three men got saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit. Because he said one word. Isn't that easier than going out witnessing on the street when you don't want to? Do you get it? You get it? Are you getting it yet? We take off guilt, we take off shame, we take off, why haven't I got this? We take off those things and we replace them with, Father, I'm going to stay in your presence, I'm going to love your heart until I receive what you have for me. Does that sound a deal?
Yeah.
And we're going to become a Holy Spirit church. Woohoo! And then we start on the good stuff. But I passionately believe that Scripture, why was the first gift the disciples given? Speaking in tongues? Because it was the gateway to everything else. Why is Paul talking about tongues here? Not because tongues were wrong. He wanted them to receive and then to earnestly desire that comes through the gateway of what you've opened when you worship God. Let's pray together. Father, we've laughed quite a lot this morning, but also, Lord, we've touched on subjects for some that are very painful. There are people who have spent many years seeking your face, trying to be filled with your presence. Father, this morning, we ask in Jesus' name that we take off all guilt, shame, all failure, sense of failure. Father, take off those people who feel that they're not good enough because they haven't received. Father, we rebuke all of that in Jesus' name. And we say thank you, Father, that you always have the door open, that we can come into your presence and we can receive from you. Father, make us hungry for more of you, because we know you'll keep coming. And Father, make us the church where speaking in tongues is the gateway to all that you have for us. Father, we want to change our community. We want to heal people in this area. We want to speak the words of life into people's hearts. Father, give us what we need that we can make this world better. And Lord Jesus, as the hymn says, start the work in us. Release us for all that you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with a song. I'm sorry we've gone on a bit too long this morning. If anyone's going to get told off by their parents, let me know and I'll write you a note. I really wanted to try and get that whole subject done in one go. I hope that made sense. If in dealing with that you felt that you'd like to be prayed for, that it's an issue to you, please, as we sing the last hymn, just come to the front and we'll pray with you. Don't come worrying. Just come to receive whatever God has for you. And let him worry about what's going on. Because my experience is, when you need something, God will give it. All right? So we're going to stand, because you've sat for ages. We're going to sing a song. And then, as I say, if you want to be prayed for, just come and stand at the front. And afterwards, Roxanne and Sanjay have got that tea making in hand. I tell you. Let's stand together. Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Make this our prayer. All right? Thank you, Jesus.
Fill me with your power.
we love you, Lord. Shiriki alama shikianda. Odi alama kashanda. Odi ala. Odi kianda. Hikahalamanda. Lord, as we leave this place, take us deeper and deeper and deeper into your love. Lord, what we are sensing or experiencing right now, may it be the start of a journey that goes deeper and deeper into you. Take us deeper day by day, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to just sense and feel your presence throughout the week. Daily, more and more of you. That, Lord, when we meet again, your power will be more seen than ever before. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you've done. We receive from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before you wander off and have a chat and have your tea, go to somebody you haven't come with and just pray a blessing over them for the week. Whoever it is, just say, let me pray for this week and give them a blessing. Give them a word from God for this week and then you can have your cup of tea. But you've got to do a bit of work first, alright? So, I mean, some of you need to just move out your seat, go find somebody maybe you haven't spoken to before and just say, can I pray a blessing on you for this week? That means move a little bit. And Graham's going to put some music on, and then you can have your cup of tea, all right? Thank you, Graham. Sharabaka shiari kianda. He'll come to you. Sit down.
Anointing.
God bless you, Jesus.
Fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Enjoy the presence of the Lord right now.
we bless you.